Good morning, brothers and sisters. I'm so thankful for the opportunity to be invited here to worship with you and to share God's message with you. Pastor Vincent is on vacation. I'm covering him. And I'd like to bring a message to you from 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 to 7. The scripture we read was wonderful scriptures, but today, on the same kind of direction, I'd like to share with you this title, The Portraits of a Christian Workman. Okay, so in that regard, let's turn our Bible to the scripture, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 to 7. We're going to study this small paragraph together and apply to our lives and ministry. So let's read together, if you can, with your Bible, on the cell phone, or online, or following the slides on the screen. Okay, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 to 7. You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, and trust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. Join with me in sufferings like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs, but rather tries to please his commanding officer. Similarly, anyone who competes as an athlete does not receive the victor's crown except by competing according to the rules. The hardworking farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. Reflect on what I'm saying, for the Lord will give you insight into all this. Thus goes the saying, a picture is worth a thousand words, because the right picture can go a long way in introducing a product, selling us a product. It can make an article or conversation more compelling. And a good, as we move to, as we open to 2 Timothy chapter 2, the first paragraph, verses 1 to 7, Apostle Paul here draws four pictures, what it means to be a faithful follower of Jesus Christ. He shows us the kind of person it would take to leave a godly legacy. So that's what we are thinking, we'll be studying on this morning, is how to build a godly legacy, how to take the application of the truth from these four pictures to become a faithful followers or continue to strive to be faithful followers of Christ Jesus. Now, Paul gives us great pictures, portraits, and analogies of what it means to follow Christ faithfully. So that's what we need to hear on this Communion Sunday. Now, it's challenging to follow Christ faithfully, right? It's not easy to be Christian. It's joyful, it's thankful, it's a wonderful feeling when we receive Christ as Savior. Oh, the birds seem to sing to us, the sky seems to all blue, everything seems fine. But walking on this path to follow Christ as the Lord is challenging. Apostle Paul surely knew about challenges because he suffered many ways as a missionary, as a God's servant. And Apostle Paul was eventually, we know, martyr for the sake of the gospel. So when he wrote the second letter to Timothy, his disciple, his beloved spiritual son, he understood that he was coming to an end of his earthly journey. Now, Apostle Paul has a close relationship with Timothy. He addressed Timothy as my son, spiritual son, in his letters. Timothy was Paul's apprentice and disciple, and later became a faithful partner in the mission trips. And Timothy was placed now as a church pastor, and Apostle Paul's final word to Timothy are also good reminders to us as we serve the Lord in this church. While we are not pastor or missionary like Paul or Timothy, but we are called to be God's workmen. We are called to serve the Lord. Therefore, as the pandemic is slightly easing, as starting in May, I call upon leaders to start resuming by faith all the work and the ministry of our church in person and online. I would like to encourage one another of us among here with Apostle Paul's word. No matter what God has called you and me to do, he asks for faithfulness. He doesn't ask for achievements in the sense as the world sees it, but he asks for faithfulness, faithful to the end. So let's study this passage under two headings. First, we see encouragement in ministry. Paul gave encouragement, great encouragement to Timothy, as well as to us. Apostle Paul begins the chapter by giving great encouragement to Timothy in his ministry. He said, rely on God's grace. Paul encouraged Timothy to rely everything in his ministry on God's grace. In verse 1 it reads, you then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Not strong in your own strength, not strong in our own wisdom or cleverness, but strong in the grace of God that is in Christ Jesus. Through God's grace, God gives us the power that we need to serve him. Early in chapter 1, verse 9, the same book, Apostle Paul reminds Timothy this, God has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. How wonderful it is to know this grace cannot be earned, and is not earned, but is also placed in our lives in eternity past, and here and eternity future. So Timothy was saved by God's grace, just like any Christian among us here. He also called by God to serve him. So there are different kinds of calling. You are called to be saved. You are called to serve. Okay. So Timothy did not choose to become a pastor. He did not choose to become a Christian worker. But Paul told him it's a divine appointment that God has planned before the beginning of time. So it's through God's calling that we have a privilege to serve in the church. We have a privilege to minister God's word. We have the privilege of bringing the prayer from the Holy Spirit to needy people and meet their needs. Since it's God who put us in a ministry position, we should rely on God's grace to serve. God's grace strengthens us. As Paul said in chapter 1, verse 7, for God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. So Paul mentioned about being shy, timidity, because as a young pastor, as a young Christian worker, Timothy always feel fearful to serve, to lead a church, to show the responsibility. Now, I am like many of you, introvert by nature. Okay, I don't look like it, but I'm an introvert by nature. I often feel very self-conscious when I speak publicly. It's frightening when church members, brothers and sisters, and leaders look for my leadership and they actually follow my advice. On one hand, I feel very grateful and joyful, but on the other hand, I feel very fearful because I always second-guess myself. Did I make a right decision? Or what if I make a wrong decision? But thankfully, we all rely on God's grace to serve in the church. And like many of you would say, we don't have all the answers, but we know God does. And all that we need to do, all that we need to know, all that need to be equipped with is in God's word in the Bible. So if we follow God's guidance, we'll be on the right track. No matter if we are in meetings, no matter if we carry out tasks, or no matter if we are planning in our mind about the best, most efficient way to meet the needs of the people that we serve. Paul reminds us, prayer. So we need your prayer. We need prayer for each other. We need to pray for one another. We need to pray for pastor, elders. You need to pray for your leaders. And as well as they pray for you constantly. So we should We rely on God's grace. We do not resort to our experience of our little human wisdom or carnality, okay? We should not blindly just follow what works in the secular world. We should filter them with God's principle and God's laws, God's teaching. And if we do God's things in God's way, God will surely bless the work of our hands. And then Apostle Paul encouraged Timothy to say, rely on God's word, okay? To rely on God's word. He urged Timothy to relay God's word to those he served, to pass the words out, to send it out, to pass around, to let people understand what God is saying. So Paul in verse 2 is saying, and the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, and trust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. Now, can you count how many generations of Christians and disciples that are described in this verse? I count 4. Paul, Timothy, reliable, meaning faithful men and women, and others. 4 generations, 4 levels, 4 sphere of reference. And Timothy's task was to relate, to send out, to spread out God's word one generation after another. That's the principle of discipleship, passing on. Let others be equipped to know, to receive what you have received from the Lord and from those who discipled you. There are only a limited number of students or disciples a pastor or teacher can train. But if each student in turn disciple another, 2 students and so forth, there will be growth. So a question I have for you, brothers and sisters, after you become a Christian, have you helped another disciple, another new Christians, to grow in the spiritual path, to follow Christ? Some people may say, I don't have the gift of teaching, counseling, or preaching, or instructing, but, you know, but God gifts us with this mission and task. He will surely equip us to do that. When I first become a Christian, I have the blessing of going through discipleship training, lessons, Bible study, encouragement, prayer, through many wonderful servants and brothers and sisters in Christ. Instructors challenge us to become future disciples. He said, all we need to do is one step ahead. We grow, we strive for spiritual growth one step ahead of the person that we lead, then we can share what we learn and what we experience, the grace of God that we experience, and give it to the one we serve. We do not need to know everything of the Bible, but you can be a disciple, a teacher, a young Timothy, if you know a little bit more than the student or the brother or sisters that you serve. So it's important for Timothy to relay God's word. So in this letter, Apostle Paul alert Timothy many times because there's one important point here, that there will be false teachings. For example, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, 15 to 16, okay, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. Avoid godless chatter because those who indulge it will become more and more ungodly. So Timothy has to relate, to share, to spread God's word in order to preserve God's truth. The same is true for us. We live in a world that's full of false ideas, false teachings, false notions and philosophies. Okay. The question is, does what we do in this church result in spreading God's word? Minister God, people's spirit and mind with the truth of God? There are ministries like worship, Sunday school, discipleship, small group, that directly related to grow in the word of the truth. But we should do the same in other ministry too. When we deal with finance, we use God's principle. When we deal with the building management, we need to use God's principle to manage. The principle and the truth and the wisdom that God entrusts to us. So even when we maintain our property, we go back to God's word. I always, in a meeting, lead people and my co-workers back to God's word, God's principle. We should not be content with just getting the job done. We have to be faithful in getting the job done as well as in God's truth. So we need to ask if the leaders, elders, co-workers, and the people whom we serve grow in the Lord through the ministry. If so, our church will grow spiritually. And the second part in Apostle Paul's word to Timothy is not only invite him to be encouraged, but invite him to engage in ministries. So here in verses 3 to 6, Apostle Paul tells Timothy how he should engage himself in ministry. There are three analogies that Apostle Paul used to describe the kind of Christian workman that Timothy should be like. The first is being a soldier. A Christian workman is like a soldier. Verses 3 to 4 reads, "Endure hardship with us like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets involved in civilian affairs. He wants to please his commanding officers." So, in other words, Paul is saying, advising Timothy with the word dedication, be dedicated. Okay? So a Christian workman should be fully dedicated to the ministry like a soldier dedicate himself or herself in a military operation. Paul said a soldier should not be distracted by things unrelated to his role. Of course, a soldier still has personal and daily duties, families and personal duties to take care of. Those who are married will have to manage their family and children. But however, when a military officer is serving active duty, he should not let other things occupy his mind so much that he forgot his main purpose, his main duty to God. So just like a soldier tries to please his commander, a Christian workman should please the Lord throughout our ministries. So it's natural to have a sense of satisfaction when things are going well, but remember, started from the point of baptism, there's a spiritual battle always going on. Always going on, no matter which stage of your life, it's always going to be Satan, always jealous and want to get you down, right? To bring you down. But when we are trying to serve the Lord and please God, our Lord, rather than ourselves in the ministry, when we dedicate to our calling, God will bring favorable outcome. He will shower upon us protection and provision that we never dream of in his time. And then the second picture Apostle Paul described to Timothy is become like an athlete, like a spiritual athlete. Okay, verse 5 reads, "Similarly, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not receive the victor's crown unless he competes according to the rules." A descriptive word that will come to your mind, my mind, when reading this is the word discipline. The imagery Paul shared is like an organized sport, like a competition in his days. Many of us like to watch Olympic Games. Even now, the US Open in tennis is very hot. Everybody watch every game. And Olympic Games held once every 4 years, international event, right? Originated in Aden of Greece some 700 years ago before Paul. And an athlete could only win, Apostle Paul said, if he competes according to the rules. So there may be a double implication here behind this expression. On one hand, an athlete will be disqualified if he or she violates the rules in a contest. In the past, one of the Winter Olympic, the country of Russia disqualified because of the violation and performance and drug usage, right? Sometimes the athlete was disqualified because of that, usually because the desire to win, overcome, is so great that they forgot about the rules that they should discipline themselves to. So sometimes we too put emphasis on the result and the process, then we may commit that similar mistake. But not so with the Lord. He does not lead us to cheat on our tax return, to save money, or to trick our friends, okay? Or by telling them, come to church, it's nothing, it's just a barbecue, right? But we express the desire that God loves them, right? And coming to barbecue is the first step. It's the first step that God shows his hospitality and his love for the person, your friend. So if we follow God's rule, he will bless us. A second possible meaning behind that implication is the strict preparation of an athlete has to go through in order to compete, in order to make himself, herself ready for the race. He includes all the means to make him or her run faster, jump higher, or to lift heavier. So proper diet, proper rest, training, equipping are all part of the discipline in the athlete's schedule. So serving in the ministry also requires preparation, requires discipline. Let me ask you, have you prayed enough and prepared yourself when you come to serve, when you go to lead, when you come to see somebody that needs your prayer? Do you organize everything and coordinate with your co-workers before serving? Above and beyond all this preparation, do you have a disciplined life and schedule in your daily routine, spending time on reading the Word of God, praying to Him, listening to Him, and understanding His direction and guidance for your everyday life? The third picture Apostle Paul described to Timothy to engage ministry like a farmer. This is the third analogy Apostle Paul uses in this passage, is a farmer. In verse 6, the hardworking farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. So Paul stated that as a farmer works hard to look after his field, he should naturally look forward to a bountiful harvest. So a proper description, what we can think of, is the word diligence. Okay, it's the word diligence. A hardworking farmer has to get up early in the morning. He routinely does all the necessary work of watering, fertilizing, weeding. Right? He endures the summer heat. He worries about the storm, the wind, the climate change, pests, you know, drought. At harvest time, a farmer will celebrate the result of his diligence. So to Timothy, his spiritual harvest can be a great support from the people he served. That's why Apostle Paul tells Timothy in 1 Timothy 5, chapter 5, 17 to 18, this word: the elders who direct the affairs of the church well are worthy of double honor, especially those whose work is preaching and teaching, for the scripture says, do not muzzle the ox while trailing out the grain. The second type of harvest Apostle Paul had in mind was the eternal reward, not just the result or the harvest of the work, of the time we invest, of the ministry where we attach to, but eternal reward. Because in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 6 to 8, Apostle Paul used the same farming analogy. He said, I plant a seed, Apollo water it, but God make it grow. So neither he who plants or nor he who waters is anything but only God who makes things grow. A man who plants and a man who waters have one purpose, and each will be rewarded according to his own labor. So Paul used sowing, growing of crops to illustrate the ministry, the work of sharing the gospel, fostering, facilitating spiritual growth in believers, in our family members, among our leaders, you know. So depending on what ministry it is, we may not always get immediate results. Planning is a special, so planning something may take months and years, but spiritual maturity of a person takes years. If we are diligent in our ministry, we'll receive this eternal reward from the Lord. Okay? So in conclusion, of the three analogy of the four pictures, we can see there's a common theme, which is perseverance. A soldier has to endure the challenges in a military campaign with perseverance. He also has to submit himself or herself to the orders of his commander with perseverance. An athlete also has to maintain strict self-control with perseverance, with preparation for competition, right? A farmer has to toil the field, suffer under extreme weather or conditions with perseverance. So the motivation for perseverance is the final goal. Whether it's defeating a spiritual battle, spiritual enemy, getting or reaping a spiritual harvest, or winning a soul for the Lord, or bringing growth, expansion in our ministries, serving the Lord and His people in the church always call for perseverance. When I first served in the church as a lay leader, an older brother reminded me well. He said, there'll be time when my plan and my ideas are defeated for various good reasons. And if I react with frustration, I'll react with quitting many times already, then I wouldn't learn the spiritual lesson the Lord wants me to learn, the lessons that God wants to build me up. So I have to learn how to persevere, how to look at by faith upon the Lord and focus on the Lord. Even when things are not going our way, there are other situations we need to ask the Lord for special grace, for perseverance, because we're under very severe circumstances. But you can be confident that if you aim for perseverance, God, through the Holy Spirit, is going to give you strength and wisdom and vision and open doors. So the people whom you serve may give you sometimes misunderstanding or unfair judgment, or even criticize behind your back. Your family member may grumble over time you spend on the church, serving the Lord. You may feel lonely and wonder if you are doing what you are doing. You have to go back to the Lord and be reminded of your calling. God calls you and asks you to be faithful servant in the ministry. That does not guarantee instant success, but faithfulness is a guarantee for eternal reward. So brothers and sisters, leaders, elder Christian workmen, let's encourage one another. Persevere, be faithful, because the goal is there, because the family of God will move forward no matter regardless of the challenges ahead. Amen? So let's pray. Dear Lord God, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for your calling. Thank you for the privilege of being able to serve you and build your church. Be able to minister your word for eternal significance. We glory in you, our God. You are our strength. Give us the grace that we need to seek perseverance, to be faithful workers in your ministry, that people will see your greatness, your power, and your provision in a way that they've never seen before. You are our God. There's none like you. We are your people, purchased by the blood of your Son. Bring us all into your glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.